And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast. Let's go. We are so excited for March Madness. It's Selection Sunday tomorrow, as we're recording. One of the best times of the year for both of us.
Yes, sir. This is like Christmas for basketball fans.
It's more than Christmas. It's the best.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but one of my favorite memories of March Madness is just like being a kid in like junior high and high school, just watching games during class and during lunch or whatever.
But it was the best when you had teachers that would put it up on the board too. It didn't happen very often, but I had a couple that wouldn't do that.
Those would be the best teachers, definitely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're a kid watching March Madness at school, try your best. Hopefully you have cool teachers, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Also same, bro. I will be watching it all day. So.
Oh yes. Awesome. Oh yes. I know last year I got on my computer, just plug that into the TV, get like four games at one time on the TV. It can be pretty exciting. Got to skip all those commercials. But how about the Jazz this week? They did all right for the games they had.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll talk about it in a second. We predicted all three losses and we were wrong on one. So that's kind of a dub.
We did get a win. We'll dive into all those games, and we've got four games, kind of a tight schedule upcoming this week, lots of Jazz basketball. And then we'll talk about some news. And the bulk of this episode is we're going to give maybe 10. We have quite a few players that you should watch for in March Madness as a Jazz fan, especially with our picks. So stay tuned for that.
Absolutely. Lots of exciting things, obviously, happening on the pod. We're trying our best to keep things positive. We know it's a rough time to be a Jazz fan, but make sure you follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We're on many of the platforms. Also, we're on Instagram at Tuned In Jazz. We post about whenever episodes release, so you'll want to be on that. Make sure you share it with a friend. We'd love to reach more people, reach more Jazz fans. And this is episode 21 of Tuned In Jazz.
Well, should we start with the Nuggets game?
Oh, yeah, let's go. So we both went 2-1, obviously. No change to our record. The thing I hate the most about this game is that we let them drop 142 again.
Oh my goodness.
I freaking hate.
And it felt like it was so easy for him, right? Jokic is so electric with his passing, and it just looks so easy. I remember, I think we were talking about this the other day, we were only down by like 15 or 12 later in the game, and that felt close.
Yeah,
in a normal game, 15 to 12 is not close, but for the Nuggets, that was, you kind of felt good about being down that much.
They're such a good team. That's like saying, like, you're totally right. Like, being down 12 to 15 against a team like this is a win, but at the end of the day, that's like, that's kind of sad. They're just such a good team.
They're just on another stratosphere with Jokic.
It's insane. It's insane. Yeah. Jokic 12 for 14. Murray balled out as well. Didn't he have like 39, I think I saw?
Yeah, he had 37.
30 something. 37, yeah. Just absolutely destroyed. Something I was impressed with, though, I guess if you want to find a silver lining, obviously Keontae had 29, 6 and 5. I like that Walker Kessler had 11 rebounds, although he's still struggling overall. But
I'm glad that he's getting minutes now. He was hurt for a little bit. Glad to see him finally back. I don't know if this was his first game back, but I don't know if he played in the Bulls game.
Can't remember.
This might have been his first game back, at least in the starting role. And he played pretty good. I hope to see him kind of take advantage of the second half of this season to try and prove himself a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Gain some confidence back,
yes,
I hope.
Yes, definitely. And I think the biggest takeaway from this game for me is just Keontae is going to be something special. And that might be a theme as we talk about some of the other games this week as well. But overall, it's hard to beat the Nuggets, but we tried our best.
Yeah. I think that that's a really good point. Like, the now's the time for us to give confidence to a lot of players. Obviously, Keontae's gaining that. Well, he's already seemed like a very confident player, but Bryce Sensabaugh has been scoring pretty well, pretty decently at least. So you'd love to see the confidence from him. But guys like Taylor Hendricks, Walker Kessler, I really hope that they can find some confidence at the end of this year, but it's not looking great so far.
Yep. Well, with that, then we went over to Utah again to play the Boston Celtics.
Yes, we did.
The best team by record in the NBA, by a decent margin, too.
Yeah.
And they definitely beat us.
Yeah. The record may not suggest it for the Nuggets, but I think we might have just played the two best teams in basketball back to back. So it's kind of unfortunate that it worked out that way. But no Jaylen Brown that night we played. Mm-hmm. But all their starters and one of their bench guys had double digit points. So they kind of are just.
It also looks like they didn't have Porzingis either. So.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
They had Luke Kornet start, but they still are tough to beat. And we're also hurt too, right? Yeah, we're losing Markkanen this whole week. I will that say so one thing I've noticed this week is kind of the emergence of John Collins to fit better into the team. This game, he only had 10 points, but he's had a lot of 19, 20-point games here and there where it feels like our guards are finally starting to figure out how to play with him. And it's maybe just taken a whole year for him to like feel like he knows his role and he can like contribute to winning. I will say he still seems to be like our worst player for plus minus. But I just hope maybe his defense could be slightly better and maybe we could keep this going with finding him on the rolls and getting him in good spots.
Yeah, sometimes plus minus is a little deceiving, although it tells a pretty good story, I guess. But I think you're right. One thing I've been impressed with, and especially in this game, is how consistent Keontae and Colin Sexton have been when they've been starting together. They're both just dropping 20-plus points a game, especially with Lowry out. They're just our main guys, and they just know how to play their role, so it works.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with Colin Sexton. I know going into the season, I wasn't really sure, like, is he part of the future? Is he not?
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm still kind of unsure, but he has grown this season to become a better player, and it's just going to be a tough decision for the team to make. And hopefully he and Keontae can play together like this going forward.
Yeah, he's grown a lot. I remember earlier in the season we were talking about moving him because, I don't know, I kind of feel like we kind of saw him and Talon Horton Tucker on the same plane.
Right.
But now it's definitely very different. He 9-for-16 is much more efficient than he was shooting before.
Remember, we were looking at that stat. He leads the team by a wide margin in fouls drawn, too. He's very aggressive. And I think Keontae, you kind of saw that this game. He kind of echoed that a little bit. He's starting to get more aggressive, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you love to see it. And then on Friday.
Yesterday, yeah.
Or, yeah, yesterday. Quinn Snyder returns home
to
Salt Lake City.
We love Coach Q.
And unfortunately, we handed him a loss, of course. I mean, fortunately. Jazz win 124-122. What were your thoughts on this game?
I know the Hawks were also hurt, so I think that kind of was the equalizer here.
No Trae Young.
They're a little bit hurt as well. They had some guy in the starting lineup that I don't even know how to pronounce his name. But we're saying it in both of the other two games. It's Keontae George that just showed out. He had 25 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. And like I was just talking about, he was aggressive. He was 8-for-8 for free throws and led the team in fouls drawn. So I think something's rubbing off from Colin Sexton to him with getting it to the line.
Yeah. Absolutely. Even though the Hawks didn't win, DeAndre Hunter killed us off the bench. He was really nice. 27 points, I believe. Pretty consistent as well. Speaking of consistent, again, Keontae George just keeps doing it. 25 points.
Yeah.
He's, I was thinking about it. This might be kind of a hot take, but I could see Keontae George next season or the season after turning into our leading scorer. Just with the way he's scoring right now. Kind of crazy.
Yeah, and then just have to give a huge shout out to Johnny Juzang. He hit 5 3-pointers in this game. I wonder if he could take on, like, in the past we used to have George Niang as like a good rotational player. It seems like Johnny Juzang could kind of take on that role of just like hitting threes and that's about it.
He's kind of got a similar build to Fontecchio as well.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit different play style, but
I think he could be a good defender as long as he can like be able to move laterally enough to guard the perimeter. So we'll see about that. But he's 19 points, his career high. And also Micah Potter had 11 points, also his career high.
Yeah. One thing I will say, Talon Horton Tucker, I really, really hope this is the last time we see him this season. I mean, like not like this game, but I mean like after this season, I hope he's just playing so bad. I don't think this team's a good fit for him, and I don't think he's a good fit for this team. He deserves better. We deserve better. Got to find something different.
Especially with Bryce Sensabaugh starting to show that he's probably got a spot in the rotation. Like, I don't see us bringing him back.
No, absolutely not. Well, that brings us to our player of the week, and I kind of suspect that it might be the same, but who is your player of the week?
Keontae George, for sure.
Ooh, okay.
Did you have him as well?
I did, yes.
I was going to say, I was looking through the stats of the players the last couple games. His stats stand out high above the rest. He had 25, 26, and 29 in all three of those games we were talking about. He's showing that he's aggressive and getting to the line, getting more free throws than he has in the past, hitting threes and big shots. And I think that this is like last week when we were saying we're going to go into this week, we're going to play all of the best teams. That's going to be a great test for our rookies. I think it shows that Keontae is not afraid of these great teams and these great players. He's going to try and do his best and show out against the top talent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I noted that his scoring has been very consistent, you know, like scoring 25 plus in each of the games this week. He's basically become our leading scorer with Lowry out. But one thing that's impressed me the most is his defense. I don't think that he's quite an elite defensive player yet, but I was looking at the stats. Against the Celtics, he had 2 blocks, and against the Hawks, he had 2 steals. And it seems like I consistently see that where he kind of just does what's needed defensively, and that I think he could become a really good defender. So I've been really impressed with him this week.
Yeah, I'm also glad. I'm sure Chris Dunn is a big part of that. Because if he's a great defender, teaching him some of those things, and I think we've got him in a good situation with some of his teammates. So that was an easy pick for player of the week. There was a small part of me that wanted to pick Johnny Juzang for that one 19-point game, but it had to be Keontae. It's tempting.
It's tempting. Yeah, he had such a good week. Hopefully, he has another good week this week. I'll make him make it again.
Oh yeah. Well, we've got another tough week.
Yes, we do.
The worst team we play this week is the Mavericks, and the other teams are Minnesota and OKC. So it's a tough week.
Yeah.
But let's start with we play Minnesota almost back to back with one day rest day in the middle, both in Salt Lake. So let's just do these together. So Saturday, Minnesota, what do you got?
Well, for this first one, I'm going to say it's a loss. I think they're without Karl Anthony Towns for a while, right? I think I heard something about that.
At least till maybe when the playoffs starts, but it depends.
The playoffs, yeah.
He'll be reevaluated.
But I still think it's a bad matchup for us. They're such a good team defensively. And, of course, we love Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert. They play such good roles for that team, so I'm going to say a loss.
I've also got a loss. But then we go back to come back to Delta Center for Monday, and we play him again.
Yeah.
I got a win. I think we can get one out of these two.
Okay, yeah. I got a win as well in the second one. Why not? I don't know. Back-to-back, Minnesota's on the road in a, well, back-to-back against the same team. I mean, not necessarily back-to-back, right. But yeah, I got a win as well. We could pull one out, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I also think... we're too good of a home team to lose both of these. We've just shown pretty much this whole year, no matter who's been playing, that we win games at home. Yeah. And selfishly, I might be going to this game, and so I hope to see a win for that reason too.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Okay, well, then we go on the road, finally, to Oklahoma City to play the Thunder. tough place to play right now. What do you got for that?
So I think record-wise, oh, wow, the Nuggets are the best team in the West, I thought. Anyways.
It changes every day, yeah.
I was going to say, I think record-wise, the Wolves and Thunder are the best two teams, but they're the second and third best teams in the West. So, yeah, tough game. But I've got a loss in this one, unfortunately. Oklahoma City, I'm sure they want that one seed, so they need every win they can get, and they're going to fight hard. So,
yeah, we did beat them in Salt Lake, but it's kind of a different team now with the injuries, and yeah. It's tough to win on the road, so I also got a loss.
Yeah, it's tough. Hopefully somebody posterizes Gordon Hayward, I hope.
Oh, my goodness. That would be great to see.
And then we continue our road trip. We go a little bit south of Dallas, Texas, to play the Mavericks. Who you got in this one?
Just, again, I think being on the road is tough, and so I've got a loss, yeah. Especially with, if you look at the Mavericks in the standings right now, they are only one game behind the Suns and the Kings in that 6-8 range, and the Lakers are only two games behind them, and so every single game is really important for them.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, they've gotten a lot better since the deadline, I feel like, but yeah, still they've haven't been super dominant, but
yeah,
I've got the losses as well. I think it's gonna be a tough one, especially on the road, back to back.
Well, dang. Well, we matched our predictions again. We never talk about him, so it's always, you never know. But I think we'll hopefully get as many wins as we can and see our young guys do well. But it's going to be a tough week again. We got one of the hardest records left.
Yes, we do. A couple of pieces of Jazz news. Obviously, we talked about Quinn Snyder returning to Salt Lake. He had some good things to say. Players had some good things to say about him. Also, Otto Porter Jr. retired. You have any thoughts on that?
Surprise. I was really hoping to see him play.
Yeah, for real. I was more expecting him to ask to be released or something, but he just was done, I guess.
I guess it makes sense. He's had a long career, and I guess it's just time. Yeah. But since he did retire, and we had some extra room on the roster, the Jazz went out and signed Kenneth Lofton Jr.,
yes, sir.
To a 3-year non-guaranteed contract, as well as Darius Bazley to a 3-year non-guaranteed. I kind of like Kenneth Lofton. He's kind of a big...
I like him a lot.
Big, muscly guy, kind of a freight train if he's running towards the rim.
Oh, yeah.
But he's played pretty well for the Grizzlies, and I think he could be a decent piece off our bench.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. I don't know if you saw the Jazz posted something. Apparently, we drafted Darius Bazley.
Okay.
But he was like a draft day trade, so he was never like part of the organization. So it's kind of interesting. Also, I really love Kenny Lofton too. He like, I don't know if you remember, but his first season with the Grizzlies, they had some injuries and he had like a 43-point game or something in his first couple weeks of playing for them. So I think he's got a lot of potential. He could be a really nice piece for us, I think.
Yeah, so I guess you never know. They're able to play now, so we might see them this week.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. A couple of pieces of NBA news. RJ Barrett's brother, Nathan Barrett, died. I don't think we have any information about how he died. I don't know if you've heard anything, but our prayers go out to him and his family, obviously. That's a tough thing to experience. And then Rudy Gobert, our boy, got fined $100,000.
It's a lot of dough. The NBA. It's nothing to him with his contract.
Yeah, I'm sure. He actually made a comment that he didn't mind paying the fine. He made a gesture at the ref, like the money sign, and then was making comments later about how betting is ruining basketball and kind of low-key accused the refs of throwing games. But yeah, kind of interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of some of the past games that were rigged in the NBA. Like, for instance, when the Lakers and the Kings were in the I guess conference championship to go to the finals.
Yeah.
The refs were rigging that game for the Lakers because of the money and because of wanting it to generate revenue and all that, right? Very sad for Kings fans. I don't know how many Kings fans actually know that likely they could have had a championship if the refs didn't rig that game.
It's true. There's a really good documentary 30 for 30. I can't remember what it's called, but it's about the main ref who got in trouble for that and how he had rigged like hundreds of games. Just yep. Absolutely wild.
Yeah. Hopefully there's none of that in the NBA today. I don't, yeah. If there is, we don't know about it. So that's probably good.
Yeah.
But let's get into the meat of this episode. We've been our homework and trying to find some guys that you can look for in March Madness as a Jazz fan. I will say, sir. At least for me, I speak for myself, maybe you as well. We are definitely not experts in March Madness or in like draft prospects. We're just a couple of guys that looked at some highlights and kind of thought of some guys that we'd like to see maybe join the team next year. And so definitely take our takes with a grain of salt. And if you're looking into wanting to know more about the prospects, this could be like a good starting point for you to kind of learn some of the names. At least it was for me.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just looking for Nick's Keontae George, obviously. I firmly believe there's no perfect science to drafting. Obviously, our three best players in the last decade were the 16th pick? One of our best draft
Rudy
players.
Rudy Gobert was 27th.
27. Donovan Mitchell was kind of late lottery. So there's no perfect science to it. We just want to find the next guy, I think so.
Yeah, and hopefully Danny Ainge has had some good luck when he was on the Celtics drafting Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. So hopefully he'll make some good choices this time.
Yeah, so we're going to act. Obviously, we've talked about what picks we have or might not have, but we're going to act as if we do have the 10th pick. First, we're going to start, obviously, with we're going to talk about some guys the Jazz could draft that are Europeans. So obviously you're not going to see them in March Madness.
Or like G League Ignite people, just not college basketball, essentially.
Yes. Who do you have at the top of your list?
Okay, so I've only got two guys in non-college basketball that I would like to see us draft.
Okay.
But both of these guys might be off the board by the time the 10th pick comes. And so if we get lucky, maybe one of these guys will fall to us, but they're both really good talents. So the first one I've got is Nikola Topic.
Ooh, okay.
Did you have him at all?
I did. I actually only had one guy, and he was my guy, so.
Okay. Well, let's talk about him just a second. He's in like the Adriatic League in Europe.
Yeah.
So that's like a lot of the same countries as like where Luka's from and Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
So, you know, like he's playing against great talent, right? He is very tall.
Very tall.
Is a ball handler, right? So he's kind of like a point forward, super tall point guard. He does a really good job at getting to the rim. He's almost unstoppable at that. And he's a good passer. He kind of reminds me of like Luka with less of a jump shot.
Yep.
I don't know. Do you have any comparison for him or what are you feeling about him?
Yeah, I kind of, he kind of reminded me of Lowry just a little, just the way he's like, Lowry kind of plays that point forward thing sometimes. I was looking at Nikola Topic's stats and it's really hard to gauge European stats sometimes, I feel like, because I think he was only averaging like 4 or 5 points a game. But like I also looked up Luka, and Luka's best season he averaged like 11 points a game in Europe. Right. So I think it's just hard to gauge based off stats with these guys, European guys.
Yeah, definitely. And I was looking at his highlights and nobody could stop him at the rim.
Yeah,
he's so tall and lengthy. I think in the NBA that'd be even harder with the three in the key and all the fouls.
Yeah.
I think he could be a really good slasher if anything.
Oh. Absolutely, yeah. There could be some offense sets we could run for him. That'd be really nice.
Okay, and then I had one other guy. Ron Holland of G League Ignite.
Oh, nice. That's a good pick.
He could go in the top five or before the 10th pick comes. But he's just another like really talented player that I think could be great in this league. He's got great size and athleticism. He's pretty much a good all-around player. The only thing that he really needs to work on is his shooting. He only shot 24% from three in G League.
Yeah.
But he does everything else really well, and he's a great athlete, can dunk on people and just make some really good highlights. And I think he's a good defender with his size too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. He, if I remember right, at the very beginning of the season, he was kind of the consensus number one pick.
Yeah.
But he's kind of fallen quite a bit. Probably not. It's probably not his fault. More other guys showing up, but kind of interesting.
Yeah. And even after March Madness, all of these mock drafts are going to change so much.
Yeah.
People are going to do well. People are going to get hurt. And so it's going to be another round after March Madness as well. But let's get into the 9th pick or 10th pick, whatever we get.
Let's
right?
do it.
I've got 4 guys for this. So
okay, I got 4 as well.
Okay. Do you want to get into your first? Yeah.
Yeah, I'll start with my first one, which is one that you actually will not see in March Madness because his team did not make it. And that's Isaiah Collier from USC. Really nice freshman out of USC. Scored about 16 points a game this year, 4 assists, 49% from the field. Really good guard. It would be nice to see some kind of rotation with him and Keontae and Colin Sexton. Unfortunately, USC was just really bad this year, but I think he would be a good pick for the Jazz.
How is he, like a point guard or a shooting guard?
Yeah, point guard, 6'5" point guard. So he's got good length. He ran the point for USC pretty much all year. So nice.
On right on. Yeah, I saw he was definitely a lottery pick in a lot of the things I was looking at.
Yeah.
So cool, cool. Well, I've got one Kentucky guy, Reed Shepherd.
Ooh, okay.
I really like this guy. He's risen a ton in the mock drafts recently. So
yeah,
it's tough to see. He's projected to maybe go like at least top 10, so we might not get him. But he's only 6'3", but he is lights out from the 3-point line, and he is a really great defender. He gets a lot of steals and hustle
really
plays.
Good.
The only real downside of him that is the biggest one is just his size, only being 6'3".
Unfortunately.
Yeah, but I'd love to have him I think he'd be a tremendous role player, great shooter.
Yeah.
And so if he falls to us, I'd love to see us have him.
Yeah, I like him a lot too. He would be a nice pickup for us. I think I saw one mock draft that had him going 4th overall, but I also saw another one that had him going like 14th. So it seems like there's a lot of like range in where people see him right now. So my next guy is also a Kentucky guy, not Reed Shepherd, Rob Dillingham, his backcourt mate. I really like him. Kentucky's got the best freshman in the country this year. Rob Dillingham's 15 points, almost 4 assists, 48% from the field this year. I think the Jazz need to tighten up their guard rotation a little, so I think I wouldn't be surprised to see them get some other guards to work in there. So I like him a lot.
Yeah, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but he's a pretty good defender as well, right?
Yeah, he's pretty decent, yeah.
I think that's really what I want to see if we draft a guard, is somebody that's going to play D.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah.
And he's also a top 10 type guy, so we'll see if we can get him or not. Yeah. One of those two would be great.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Okay. Another guy I've got that is top 10, we might get him, we might not, is Cody Williams.
From Colorado, right?
From Colorado. He's actually Jalen William of the Thunder's brother.
Interesting.
He looks really good. He looks, at least in the highlights I was watching when he's playing for Colorado, he looks like he's already an NBA player. Like, he's got such good length and speed, and it looks like he's already way outshining the talent around him, that he could easily be in the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely. He was also a number one pick suggestion before, probably a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But Pac-12 is just such a bad basketball conference this year.
Makes him look amazing, I guess. Sad. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's kind of sad. I like him a lot, though. That's a good pick.
Yeah, I know in one mock draft I see they have him going number one, another one's number 5. Uh-huh. So who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. My next one, or actually my next two guys, I'll just say one, but my next two guys are big man. But the first one is from Duke, Kyle Filipowski. I really like Kyle Filipowski a lot. 7 feet tall. He's an absolute beast. He can stretch the floor well. 16 and 8 is what he averaged, 50% from the field. It would be you know, interesting to see how those lineups would work with the Jazz, but I could see him fitting nicely with Markkanen and Kessler and some kind of rotation with that, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can shoot as well. He can space the floor.
Yeah.
I think absolutely. We have Walker Kessler right now, but we don't really have, since we traded Olynyk, we don't really have a good shot blocking and shooting center.
Yeah.
And so I think he could maybe be a great piece for that.
Yeah. He can shoot off the dribble too. So I could see, you know, he plays center at Duke just because he's 7 feet tall, but I could see in the NBA him playing the four.
Yeah.
Pretty well. Yeah.
I love it. Well, cool. Well, keep going. I think we both have two more for this lottery pick. I've also got Jacoby Walter of Baylor.
Ooh, that's a good pick.
I'm excited about this guy. He looks like he could be a great defender. I'm really, really looking for those defenders. And he's also very good at driving to the rim and finishing through contact and through big guys, right? The only thing that a lot of these great defenders, their weakness is his shooting consistency. And so it's kind of similar in my eyes to like a Taylor Hendricks. Like, I think he can play defense pretty well, but if he's going to be able to be a good shooter, we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully we can hit the Baylor lottery again. That'd be nice.
Yeah, bring in another Baylor guy. He'll fit right in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I actually only have one more guy, but my next guy is from UConn, Donovan Clingan. I really like Donovan Clingan a lot. Seven foot two. He's a pretty big dude. Only averages 12 and 7, but 62% from the field. He doesn't obviously take a ton of shots, but he also doesn't take a lot of bad shots. So, which is what you love to see from your big man. Sophomore, so he's a little more experienced than just a freshman, which might be kind of valuable to the Jazz. I like him a lot. I think he's a really good player.
The weirdest thing, I have like two mock drafts that I'm looking at. They're made around the same time. One of them has Donovan Clingan in the top 10, and the other one has him all the way down at like 42.
Oh, really?
So he could go anywhere in the first round, I think. And I think if he does well in March Madness, then he'll probably be a lottery pick or up there somewhere.
Oh, absolutely. UConn will be a number one seed, and who knows, they might make a run.
Yeah, so when you're watching your March Madness, look out for him and UConn.
Yeah.
All right, my last guy is also from UConn. Funny. Nice. And this Bleacher Report, or actually NBADraft.net, has us drafting him with our ninth pick. Stefan Castle from UConn.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah. I haven't heard much about him.
He seems also kind of similar to Jacoby Walter, where he's a good defender. He's going to hustle for the ball. He's 6'6" as a guard, which is great size.
Ooh, nice. That's really
And then
good.
The weakness with him is just consistency. And so I think if he came into the Jazz, we could help him to be consistent. He'd have his role. And he could potentially be a good guy alongside a Sexton or a Keontae with his size.
Yeah.
Because they're both a little bit undersized, so we need a guy a little bit bigger.
That's what that kind of fits Danny Ainge's style, I feel, a little. Like, when he was in Boston, seemed like he really liked to draft the taller guards who could guard 1 through 5, and he liked to...
Not the 5. He just liked to have, like, maybe 1 through 4.
Yeah, for sure. But like he liked to have those lineups where you could switch on most, you know, where you weren't going to be in trouble if you switch. So
I mean, that's where you got Jaylen Brown. So,
yep, it's true. It's true.
Okay, let's move down. I think we would have like maybe a late first round pick and also the Wizards' second round pick. So a lot of these next guys are going to kind of mesh together. I have us having like the 27th and the 32nd pick somewhere around there.
That's about what I got too. I kind of just lumped them together. I think it's about the same range. You never know late in the first round.
Right.
There's a lot of change that can happen. My first guy is actually a senior, a little bit older, obviously, out of Clemson, PJ Hall. I really like PJ Hall. He's a center, 6'10". 18-7, and he shot 50%. He's been arguably one of the best players in the SEC this year. Dalton Knecht is obviously better, but he's somebody you're going to want to look for in the tournament, because I could see Clemson making a run with this dude. He's really good.
Yeah, I love that. What's his, like, does he have any weakness or anything, or strength or weakness that stand out?
Well, obviously his age is probably going to hold him back a little in the draft. That's probably why he's a late first, early second guy. He's also just a tad slow. He's 6'10", 238. He's got good size. Kind of more of a traditional big man, though, but there might be a need for that in the Jazz, so.
I love it, I love it. Okay, I'm going to give two guys, because they both play for the same team.
Uh-huh.
I've got two guys from Kansas, actually, so sticking with the Big 12. Ooh. I've got Kevin McCullough Jr. from Kansas.
Oh, he's nice.
He is so nice. His player comparison is Josh Hart. He hustles, plays great defense. He can shoot decent, like not that great, but good enough.
Yeah.
But he also had like a knee injury recently, so that's made him fall a little bit. But he's I've seen him projected in the lottery and also the late first round. So I think a lot of that knee injury could maybe have him fall to us, hopefully.
Yeah, I think so.
And then
so.
I also got his teammate, Johnny Furphy.
Ooh,
from Kansas.
He's a nice one too.
He's a tall white guy, but he can shoot the lights out of the ball. He doesn't really get that much action on Kansas. He kind of just stands in the corner, gets rebounds because he's 6'9" as a forward. Yeah. But he can shoot really well. And so at least I could see him and Markkanen being like a duo of like him playing power forward and Markkanen playing center and them just both shooting the lights out.
Yeah, I like that pick. He's I was going to say he doesn't like create shots very well, but yeah, he might be one of the best 3-point shooters in college basketball right now. He is.
Yeah.
He's got a really smooth stroke, so I like him a lot.
Yeah.
It's a good pick.
And honestly, on the Jazz, we don't need another playmaker. We just need somebody to shoot the ball. So yeah, I feel like he could do
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I like that. Well, my next pick, this guy might actually be my favorite guy. Like, this is the guy I really hope the Jazz take, Hunter Salas out of Wake Forest. Wake Forest is kind of on the bubble for the tournament, so it's possible that this doesn't even turn into a guy you can watch in March Madness. But average 18 points this year, 50%, 4-2, rebounds and assists. Against Duke, though, Wake Forest beat Duke this year when they were in the top 10, and he was 11-13, 5-6 from 3. 29 points. He's dropped 39 this year, which in college, he's a baller. The guy can score. I think he would be a really good addition to the Jazz.
Oh, definitely. I love that pick. And Wake Forest like was a low-key pretty good team, so we might be able to see them in the in the March Madness. It'll just kind of be up in the air. We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely.
My next guy, I've only got three more.
Okay.
My next guy is actually a Utah guy from Weber State.
Oh, okay. Not Utah.
I got Dylan Jones.
Oh, okay.
For those of you who don't know Dylan Jones, I just found out about him a couple days ago while researching for this podcast. But he is the one of like very few players in college basketball that have averaged 20 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists. And he can pretty much do everything on the court. He can shoot, he can drive, he can pass, he can rebound and do it all. The only issue and weakness kind of going in is he's a little bit older of a guy.
Yeah.
And so most mock drafts have him in the second round or late first round. And just because he played at Weber State and had the ball in his hands all the time, it's kind of up in the air to know if like he would be able to do well in the NBA without having to have the ball all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
And so it'll be a tough pick. I think he's definitely a boom or bust. He could be like a star in the NBA or he could just be out of the league. But that's what you need to do with your second round pick, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was going to say like, why not use our second round pick and see if we can find another Dame Lillard, you know, out of Weber State.
Yeah, who knows?
You know, if it doesn't work out, you know, I don't think people generally expect second round picks to work out anyways. So,
yeah. And I mean, you got the Utah connection. So I could see the Jazz picking him a little bit earlier than some other teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my last guy, actually, I have a few less than you, but is Tyler Colic out of Marquette. I really like Tyler Colic. He balled out in last year's tournament. Marquette made a little bit of a run. I believe they went to the Sweet 16, if I remember right. I might be remembering that wrong.
I can't remember. They were definitely a 2 seed, so they either made it 16 or Elite 8. I think they went decent far.
But he balled out last year. 15 points, almost 8 assists a game. Really good, like, pure point guard. Not a incredible 3-point shooter, but he's a decent scorer at all three levels. So I could see that also being a guy we gamble with on a second round pick. He's only 6'3". I guess only 6'3" is kind of a crazy statement, but he's probably more of a shooting guard, even though he's got a lot of point guard skills.
Yeah.
So 6'3" might be a little small.
This website, his NBA comparison is TJ McConnell.
Okay.
Interesting.
It's always funny, NBA comparisons, because I feel like it's always more based off of looks than it is
like
actual play style.
Your height and weight and your ethnicity. But yeah.
Skin color, yeah. I remember back in the day when Adam Morrison got drafted out of Gonzaga, he got mad. Or not mad, but he made a comment about how his NBA comparison was Larry Bird, and he's like, that's just lazy. It's like, it's just kind of funny. But I like Tyler Colic a lot. I think he could be good. He's a senior, so another older player in today's NBA. You know, 4 years of college doesn't necessarily help your draft stock. So,
yep. I love it. Well, I got two more. Out of all the guys that we could pick in the later picks, he's the one I want the most.
Yeah.
It's Baylor Shireman of Creighton.
Oh, that's a good one, actually.
And
Creighton's got a lot of dudes.
He's like the best player on Creighton right now. He's got them as like a top 10 seed. He is a little bit older as well, like we were talking about with a lot of these guys. But he has I saw the coolest draft comparison for him. They compared him to Joe Ingles, and I actually think it's a really
nice,
good comparison.
Let's go.
He's a lights out. He's a great, great, great shooter like Ingles was, right?
Yeah.
And he's also great as like a pick and roll playmaker. So I definitely see the comparison. But his weaknesses are his age. He's a little older and he's not the most athletic, but I could see him being a great guy to lead our second unit.
Yeah.
And kind of fill in that Joe Ingles role, because I saw that comparison. I had to put him on here. And if you watch March Madness, you will see how electric he is. He is the best player on Creighton.
Yeah. And Joe Ingles was also older, not very athletic. So that might, that's a really good comparison, actually.
And they're both white, like we were talking about. But
yep, of course.
But I actually hope we pick him with one of these later picks.
And then that would be a really good pick.
My last guy, I just put him on here because I think he could be good value. I've got Jamal Shedd from Houston.
Oh, that's a good one.
His comparison is like Javon Carter or Patrick Beverly. He's going to get up in your skin a little bit. He's not like Patrick Beverly with the antics, I don't think, but he is a great on-ball defender and a good, pretty good playmaker on offense too. And you'll definitely see him in March Madness. I think he won Big 12 Player of the Year, right?
Yeah, they play Big 12 Championship tonight, so you'll see him in that as well.
Yeah.
He's the Big 12 Player of the Year. Big 12 has been the best basketball conference this year, and it's not close. He's also up for National Player of the Year, I believe. He's one of the nominees.
Yeah.
So he could be really good.
The hard thing, though, is he is only 6'1".
Yeah,
so he's pretty small, so we'll see.
Doesn't help his stock at all.
But really, he has a lot of great qualities aside from his size, so I think it would be a good value to get him if he's still there.
Yeah, absolutely. Really good defender.
Well, I think that wraps up all the players that we had, if that's right.
Yeah.
But I don't know about you, but we could have gone on for hours about all of these great draft prospects. There's so many good guys, and I hope that this is a good starting point for anybody watching, just to kind of get familiar with some of these names, because they'll be in March Madness and they'll be exciting next year in the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely. I know brackets haven't come out yet, but do you have any early favorites, teams you're looking to put make a run this year in March Madness?
I know last time you were talking about your BYU bias. I'm definitely going to have a little bit of that. If for better or for worse, I got to put them at least one round, maybe two.
Yeah.
And I think I've actually kind of been really liking Creighton. I don't know what it is, but I like them going on a run. And then I might, right now, I think I might have to pick Houston as my champion, but I'm not.
They're so good.
They're the number one team in the all of college basketball right now. So it's hard not to pick them.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think I told myself I'm going to allow myself to get BYU to the Sweet 16. I think that's going to, depending on the path, I guess, depending on who they play. But I saw a tweet the other day that said BYU is either going to make it to the Final Four or they'll lose in the first round shooting 20% from three.
That's so valid.
That's probably true.
You might shoot 9% from three too.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. BYU generally plays really well after they've played bad games, and they played a really bad game against Texas Tech. So also the Aggies, another in-state team.
They should make it.
They're probably going to be a good seed, yeah. So lots of in-state teams to look for, in the even though neither of those teams won their conference tournament, they're going to be a challenging team in the tournament.
Yeah, I'm also looking out for Kentucky just because I think they have so much talent, and I love Reed Shepherd. Look up his highlights. He's awesome.
He's so good. And I low-key, I mean, not even low-key, I high-key hate Duke, but I think Duke's pretty good this year, and I think that they are going to be a tough team to beat as well. Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm looking for.
Well, that'll be interesting. Tomorrow, the brackets come out. We have a bracket group. We'll post on our Instagram. It's just Tuned In Jazz on March Madness ESPN Tournament Challenge. So look out and join our group. Invite your friends. We're going to try and get a bunch of people on there.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, just a fair warning, you won't win because I'm going to win, obviously. But
We might get second place.
Fair enough. But we hope you'll join us. It's always just fun, obviously, seeing how your bracket compares to others. It's obviously just a guessing game at some point. So
I love it. Well, thank you to everyone for listening to this episode. Getting excited for March Madness next week. The Jazz tough schedule keeps going. We will be here next week for another episode to go over some of those games. Maybe a little bit of a March Madness recap because we're excited about that. But yeah.
Yes. Thank you for joining us. And we hope that you stay safe. If you're on spring break, obviously I know some people around the world are. So stay safe out there and take care.